We ask that you get out your Bibles for our scripture reading this morning. It is coming from Colossians, the third chapter, verses 8 through 11 from the NIV. And if you need a Bible, they are back on the communion tables in the back. Again, it's Colossians 3, starting at verse 8. And the word reads, "But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, open our eyes to be able to see you more clearly. Dear Lord, open our ears to be able to hear your voice. Lord, open our minds so that we have understanding of what you intend to say to us. We thank you for this opportunity, and we pray that you bless us in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in this passage of scripture from Paul, he's addressing the church in Colossae about their new identity in Christ. He is introducing a whole new way of living and a whole new way of thinking to them. The believers in Colossae have accepted Christ, but they are not living out their new identity in him. They are actually living below what they are called to. Paul helps root them in the fact that since they have taken off the old self, they are no longer who they used to be. You know, for the last couple of weeks, we have been in a series in Colossians, and Pastor Andrew has taught us about being clothed in Christ, in which we put on new garments because we have been raised with Christ. We are new people with a brand new identity. But when we get to verses 8 through 11 here in Colossians 3, the question becomes, if our old life has died with Christ, why do we keep reaching back for it? Why do we keep trying to wear what no longer fits who we are? Because the truth is that we have died to the old ways, yet somehow we keep getting dragged back into it. The clothing metaphor is used for taking off the old clothes and putting on the new. The putting on the new clothing describes new life in Christ. And the taking off of old clothing describes our old sinful life. And in talking about this old life, Paul mentions the kinds of things that we may have worn in the old life. We may have worn anger or malice, rage, slander, filthy language. And those are not just bad habits Paul is trying to correct. They are signs of an old life we are still trying to wear. They are garments from a very old identity. But we have no reason to wear them anymore. We have been given a new identity in Christ. In fact, that's great news, because it means we do not have to invent an identity. We do not have to build it from scratch. In Christ, it has been given to us. But here's the thing. We do have to walk in it. We have to walk out our new identity. And that is where many of us struggle, because walking in our new identity is not automatic. It is a conscious decision. It takes intention and it takes effort on our part to shake off what is old and walk in the newness of what Christ has already given to us. Are you familiar with the Witness Protection Program? I know I am because I watch all the stuff. I watch FBI and CIA and Marshals and all those things. And the Witness Protection Program is administered by the U.S. Marshals. And in the Witness Protection Program, you are given a new name, a new identity, a new location, a new set of papers, and a new life. The U.S. Marshals, they report a 100% success rate for people who follow the guidelines. Nobody's ever been killed. Nobody's ever been harmed. However, there are those people who broke the security protocols. Those people who went back to their old life, who contacted their former associates, who wanted to return home. In them, they have been found and they have been harmed. So you can stick with your new life or you can put away the old life, because the truth is this new identity only works when the old life is truly left behind. And I think this passage in Colossians touches on something really similar. It asks us, is it the same with us? Do we refuse the new life that we have been given? Do we keep reaching back for the old life? That old life is not us anymore. God has given us, Christ has given us a new life. So church, if you've been hidden in Christ, why do you keep introducing yourself by your old life? Why do you keep answering to a name that Christ has already put away? The problem is not merely trying to change the old things that we used to do. The deeper problem is that apart from Christ, we live out of an old identity that has been deeply shaped by our sin, shaped by our false desires, shaped by a distorted understanding of who we really are. That is the issue we see in Colossians 3:8. Paul names anger and slander and lying and filthy speech, but he's just naming symptoms of an old self that we are tempted to keep wearing. They are evidence of the old self still trying to speak, still trying to rule us, still trying to react. Although we are made new in Christ, sometimes we keep looking back to our old life. It's kind of like the story of Lot and his family. They were rescued from Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19. Do you remember this story? Essentially, what happens is the angels are rescuing Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah and escorting them out of the city that God is soon going to destroy because of how evil that city has become. And one of the things they were told as the angels were rescuing them is, don't look back. But as they were leaving, there was one who looked back on the old life. Lot's wife turned around and looked back, and that was her downfall. She did not move forward. In Scripture, it says, Lot's wife was turned to a pillar of salt when she looked back. And like Lot's family, we too have been rescued. And yet we are still tempted to look back on that old life. But when we do, it hinders us from moving forward into the new life that God has for us. Lot's wife had been brought out, but her heart was still back there. And that's a warning for us, because it's possible to be rescued from our old life and still keep staring at the life that God is calling us to leave behind. But why? Why would we look behind? God has rescued us from this old life, and now we have the opportunity to move forward into our new life. And that's amazing news. We do not move forward in order to become loved by God. We move forward in Christ because we are already loved by God. We do not put off the old in order to earn a new identity. We put off the old because we already been given a new identity in Christ. But the plain fact of the matter is, as humans, we struggle with identity from the very beginning. from the very beginning, we were created in God's image. We were created to reflect Him. We were created to live under God's rule. We were made in His image. But sin, as you know, in Genesis 3, sin distorted that identity. Rebellion marred what God had made. And ever since, humanity has kept questioning what God already said about who we are. Think about it. Even though God created us in His identity, and He sent His Son to restore that identity, we still try to create our own identity, don't we? We try to create our own identity sometimes in our performances, sometimes in our possessions, sometimes in our opinions, our work, our relationships. We see identity played out in so many ways that it ends up deeply forming us. And we start asking the question, who am I? And we ask that question with almost anything except Christ. So we're asking, who am I? But we're not asking it, who am I in Christ? Sometimes we answer that question with what we do. Sometimes we answer that question of who am I with who loves us. Sometimes we answer that question about what we own. And sometimes we answer that question about what people think about us. We answer it with our failures, with our successes, with our woundedness. And the trouble is not that all of those things are not real. They're very real. The trouble is that none of those things can carry the weight of our identity. A number of years ago, if you moved to a new house, one of the most frustrating parts of that whole process was changing your address. You had to fill out forms at the post office, call the bank, call the doctor's office, update your insurance, change your driver's license, notify friends and family, and even then, for a while, you still wouldn't get your mail or would keep showing up at your old place. Bills would go to the wrong address, packages might be delayed, important notices might end up where you live and where you don't live. Now imagine moving into a brand new home, getting everything transferred, but you still keep going back to that old mailbox at that old address waiting for your mail. At some point, somebody in the neighborhood is going to say, why are you standing there? You don't live here anymore. That address is not yours now. And in some ways, that is exactly what Paul is saying to the church in Colossae. In Christ, you have a new address. You have a new home. You have a new life. But some of us are still checking that old mailbox. We are still going back to that old place, looking for identity. Looking for comfort, looking for security, looking for a name. We are still waiting for life to come from a place where we no longer live. But church, your life is hidden in Christ with God. That is your new address. So stop checking the old mailbox. Stop going back to the old life to find what only Christ can give. For example, I used to personally see my relationships in who I was related to. I realized that when I would meet someone new, how I would introduce myself. So if I was in Stanton, where my parents lived their whole life, I would say, oh, I'm Pauline and Linwood's daughter. Or if I was on the western end of Augusta County, where my husband grew up and where my grandfather lived, I would say, oh, I am Leroy's wife, or oh, I am Clarence Bundy's granddaughter. Or even if I was meeting somebody in Stewart's Draft, where my kids went to school, I would identify myself as their parents. I would say, oh, I am Rachel and Ben's mom. In my career, I would do the same thing. I would say, oh, I am a nurse at such and such a hospital. And all of those relationships are true. And in some contexts, introducing myself that way was totally appropriate. But none of that is who God says that I am. I belong to Him. I am hidden in Him first and foremost. And I am clothed with His righteousness And that is the identity I am to live out of. See, those roles, those relationships describe my life, but they are not the deepest part of what is true about me. They are real, but they are not the ultimate thing. Something I've seen quite a lot is that we often identify with our job or our career. And then when it's no longer available, we struggle to see who we are. Or we identify with a relationship as a parent, as a sibling, a son or a daughter, a spouse, a caregiver, and we have let that relationship define us rather than who God says we are. Sometimes we identify with our possessions. You remember the story that Jesus shared about the rich young ruler? He couldn't follow Jesus because he didn't want to leave behind all his possessions. He could not put following God above all else because he too closely identified with what he had. But what happens when those identities are no longer there? For me, my parents have been dead for a long time. My husband's in heaven. My grandfather's in heaven. My children are grown. I am no longer a nurse. I'm retired from that. And these roles that I once defined myself by have totally faded. Yet none of these roles were ever meant to define who I truly am. Do you see how relationships and careers, as meaningful as they are, were never meant to be our identity? So ask yourself, what happens when the job ends? What happens when the children are grown? What happens when the relationships changes? What happens when the title is gone? If that was your identity, then when it goes, you feel like you go with it. But if your identity is in Christ, then even when those things change, the deepest truth about you does not change. But another important thing to recognize is this whole idea of receiving new identity and putting off the old self. That is not automatic. There's a part that we play in that that takes effort on our part. But we don't do it alone. This renewal of aligning our actions and lives with our new identity is ongoing, but not automatic in process. Verse 10 says, the new self is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. That means there is both a decisive break, but also a continuing transformation. The Christian is new, but it's also being renewed. You are not who you were, and you are not yet who you will become. But both are true at the same time. And this means that there has been a decisive break with the old life, but there's still this ongoing work of renewal happening in us. And that's important because sometimes we get discouraged in the process. We get discouraged because we think, if I still struggle, maybe I'm not new. But Paul says, no, you have put on the new self. And that new self is being renewed. So the struggle that we have is not proof that Christ has abandoned us. The struggle is often the very place where he's doing his renewing work in us. Still, though, we wonder, how do we walk it out? Well, I would encourage us to always look at Jesus. In John 15, 1 through 12, Jesus speaks of his identity as the true vine and the Father's identity as the vine dresser. And his command is that we remain in him. And that word remain matters because it tells us that the Christian life is not sustained by a one-time emotional moment. It is sustained by a continual connection. Friends, we do not drift into our newness. We abide in it. We remain in it. We remain in Jesus. So how do you and I do the impossible? How do we shed that old self and embrace the new one. What we do is we walk with intentionality towards Jesus by remaining in him. Even when this new way doesn't seem to fit, we keep walking intentionally towards Jesus. Even when some of the remnants of our old clothes are still clinging to us, we continue to walk towards Jesus. Even though we lose focus, and like Lot's wife, we want to look back toward what used to be, we do not stay stuck there. We keep walking towards Jesus. Let me be really clear about one thing. This is not about perfection. It's about intention. Intentionally fixing our eyes on Jesus. Intentionally loving others when you do not feel like it. Intentionally keeping quiet when you really want to gossip. Intentionally reading scripture when you'd rather be scrolling. It's about intentionality. Intentionally praying for those who hurt you. Intentionally putting down those vices that have held you back. Because you are not that person anymore. You have a new identity in Christ. I want to say it again. We are not talking about perfection this morning. We are talking about direction. We're talking about a life that is pointed toward Jesus. So ask yourself, am I ready to shed the old clothes for the new that Christ has for me? Am I intentional about staying connected to the vine? Am I intentional about loving God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind? If you are, the good news is simply that you don't just have to try harder. The good news is that in Christ, you have already been made new. And by the Spirit of God, you can begin to live in that newness. Within that understanding, we can, in the words of Hebrews 12:1, discard the old self. Throw off everything that hinders. This shows sanctification and spiritual growth is intentional. The Christian life requires shedding what entangles us so we can run faithfully. We shed the corrupt emotions. We shed the anger. We shed the rage. We shed the malice, the corrupt speech. We shed the slander. We shed the filthy language. We shed it all. We shed corrupt relationships. We shed using people instead of loving them. Brothers and sisters, we must remember that humanity was made in God's image, but sin in Genesis 3 distorted that image. In Christ, the image is being restored. So Paul is not merely telling us to stop doing bad things. He is telling us that in Christ, the image of God is being restored in us. He is telling us to take off whatever belongs to the distortion and put on what belongs to restoration. Recently, I listened to a podcast from a couple of my favorite scholars. It's Dr. Nijay Gupta and Dr. A.J. Swoboda. They were discussing a story from Scripture on their podcast and asking a simple but powerful question. What do you do when you cannot find Jesus? They were reflecting on the story in Luke chapter 2 when Jesus was about 12 years old. Mary and Joseph had been in Jerusalem for the Passover, and when they left to go home, they assumed Jesus was somewhere in the crowd with family and friends. In those days, people traveled in large groups, so probably didn't seem unusual to them at first that they didn't see him. But after traveling for a day, they realized he was not with them. So they went back looking for him, and after 3 days, they found him in the temple. But what I find so compelling was the observation the podcasters made. They said that when Mary and Joseph realized that Jesus was missing, they started looking for him among the people who knew him. They looked among their relatives and their friends. They looked in the circle of people closest to them. And that struck me, because when we begin to lose sight of Jesus, we often do the opposite. We start looking for him in places that cannot form us in Christ. We look to the world to tell us who we are. We look to social media. We look to other people's opinions. We look to habits, to distractions, to our old ways of coping, to people who may know us a little bit, but they don't know Jesus at all. But if you are struggling in your new identity, if you are tempted to go back to the old life, if you keep reaching for the old clothes, then you need to get around people who know Jesus and know you. You need people who can remind you that is not who you are anymore. You need people who will not encourage you to go back to that life, but will help you keep walking forward. You need people who can say, those old clothes don't fit you anymore. That old name is not your name anymore. That old life is not where you live anymore. Because living in our new identity is not something we do alone. God gives us his church. God gives us his people. God gives us his community. So when we are weak, someone else can remind us what is true. When we are tempted to look back, someone else can call us forward. When we forget who we are, someone else can point us back to Christ. And maybe that is where some of us are today. Maybe Jesus has given you a new life, but you are still listening to the old voices. Maybe Christ has clothed you in something new, but you keep going back to the closet of your old self. Maybe you've even been brought out, but part of your heart is still looking back. But no matter where you are today, remember Paul's exhortation, put off the old things, all those old things that hinder you, and embrace the new life that you have been given in Jesus Christ. Can I invite you to a posture of prayer, please, with bowed heads? Ask the Lord, Father, am I walking as the person you created me to be? Or am I resisting the life you designed for me? Jesus, am I staying connected to the vine intentionally, walking with you each day? Holy Spirit, what old habits, what old words, what old attitudes or old identities am I still clinging to that I need to surrender to your work in me? Dear Lord, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for rescuing us and giving us a new identity in Christ. Forgive us for the ways we still reach back for that old life, listen to the old voices, and wear old clothes that no longer fit who we are in Jesus. Dear Lord, renew us. Dear Lord, teach us to remain in Christ, to walk forward in obedience, and to live from our new identity that you have already given us. When we are tempted to look back, Lord, turn our hearts back towards you again. And Lord, in this posture, we come to your table with gratitude and humility. And first, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, in word, and in deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone. Lord, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Lord, we pray that you sanctify these gifts by your Holy Spirit, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ, holy food and drink for new an unending life in him, and knit us together in love as we share this meal. Amen. This is the good news, friends. By Christ's broken body and shed blood, we are forgiven and made one. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Let us eat it together. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Let us drink it together. Please stand as the altar prayer teams come forward. These folks are here to pray with you if you feel like you've lost your identity and you need to be renewed in Christ. They're here to pray with you. Let me speak a blessing over you as we depart. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Have a great week, church.